Have you ever noticed that God's people are always walking? They're always walking from the cover to cover in the Bible. God's people are always walking, aren't they? They're always on a journey. They're always going somewhere. When we think about Abram. Abram was called to go to the promised land. Went on a walk, on a journey. Noah, when he built the ark, and he was on a journey on the water, wasn't he? All of God's people were constantly walking. Jesus walked all over. Paul, thousands of miles in his ministry. God's people are always on a journey. In our day today, when we think about our journey that we're on and that we, in our society today, are involved in, the journey of life, we'd like to talk about the phrase, the straight and narrow. We hope that in this life we will always walk the straight and narrow. The term or the phrase, the straight and narrow, implies the proper, honest, and moral path of behavior. Figuratively, it means a straight and law-abiding route through life, referring to a morally rigid and correct course of behavior. That's the straight and narrow that we talk about when we try and order our lives, that we walk the straight and narrow. Possibly it's a reference to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about the gate and the path to eternal life. Small is the gate, narrow is the road, which leads to life. We can make that connection of the straight and narrow. But today I want to speak about the blessings of choosing that road. Because, you know, we are on a journey from birth to death and everlasting life. But when we are born, we come to a point in our lives afterwards where we must choose a path. And that path that we choose determines our whole life and our eternal life. One of the greatest psalms dedicated to the descendants of Korah, who were temple singers, Korah was the great-grandson of Levi, is Psalm 84, talks about the walk of life a little bit. This is a psalm of longing. It's in verse 2. The psalmist writes, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God, yearning or longing to be in the Lord's presence in His temple, because this is where the Lord was, and to be in His temple was to be in His presence." And this was the ultimate blessing of happiness. There was nothing better for the psalmist here, as mentioned in verse 10. "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." You see, for the people, and possibly the psalmist, the temple of the Lord God in Jerusalem was the holiest place, the best place to be, because that was the dwelling of God. And the most blessed thing was to be in the presence of God. And many pilgrims journey to Jerusalem because as they gather there at the temple for their sacrifices and their festivals and their feasts and so forth, God was present with His people. And they experienced the enriching blessing of being together and being God's people before they dispersed back into their normal lives. It also hints of one being in the presence of the Lord in eternity here in the psalm today, which for us today is the ultimate happiness. We will not be ultimately happy until we are in the presence of the Lord. No more sickness, no more tears, no more crying, no more suffering, nothing. Eternal joy for all eternity. But first, we have to take the journey. One cannot reach a destination until they first choose to make the journey. I have a lot of people that claim to have accepted Christ, claim to have chosen the right path, but then they sit around and do nothing. And all they do maybe is complain, when in all reality they've not really chosen the path at all. They don't want to walk the walk. They don't want the journey. They want the blessing at the end, but they don't want the journey. And we all know that's not the way life works, especially in Christianity. Here we also find a reminder that if one's journey is on the right path, God will bless them and will be with them along the way. That's the key to life. That's the key to what happiness can be found in this life, is having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who blesses us daily in our lives and helps us to be happy in situations that would not be so good, and helps us to find joy in times of sorrow. Psalm 84 also declares the blessings of the Lord on those who trust in the Lord during their journey. Here it's called a pilgrimage. As we look at this today, the psalmist says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrows found a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." The psalmist is saying, I long to be like the sparrow and the swallow, like one of those, being in your presence. But to be in the presence of the Lord then and now today in our lives means a journey. It means a pilgrimage. And that's where we find ourselves today, on our way to Zion, the temple of the Lord. The psalmist here gives the reader hope as they remind pilgrims that the Lord will bless those whose walk is blameless. And it's here that we are reminded of the gospel of grace in our lives on this journey. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. First and foremost, what the psalmist is saying is, those that have set their hearts on God and set their path heavenward will be blessed. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Those that have set their hearts on taking the journey on the straight and narrow to eternity. They'll be blessed. The word is used interchangeably. Happy. Happiness. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which is the valley of weeping or troubles, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is that blessed are those who have chosen the straight and narrow, the right path, chosen God's path, that even though they might go through a valley of struggle, through struggles and trials and weeping and tribulations, they make it a blessing. They see the blessings of God all around them. They know that God is with them. They're uplifted by the things God provides, the springs, the rains. In fact, they go from strength to strength. You know, that's kind of the way it is in life. One day we've got this problem. We get through that and over that hurdle, and we go on and we're built up. And it's like, yes, thank you, Lord. I'm going on my way now. And then, bang, something else happens. Lord God, help me. Help me through this. Give me strength. We get over that hurdle. We go on again on our journey. We're feeling good. God is our praise and our thanksgiving. You see, from strength to strength to strength, God continues to pick us up. We fall down, He picks us up. We fall down, He picks us up on that pilgrimage, because we have set our sights on God on that pilgrimage. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, the psalmist says. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. O Lord God Almighty. And notice the letters are all capitalized. Yahweh, Jehovah, identifying the God who he's talking about, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor upon your anointed one. Speaking of the king, King David. And then he continues, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield and bestows favor and honor. He's a provider. As the sun provides a ray of hope, the Lord God is a sun, a provider, and a shield, a protector.
and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. When we talk about our journey to Zion, and the Bible talks about Zion. Zion was the hill on which Jerusalem stood. If we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5, we find out that David attacked Jerusalem and the Jebusites who lived there. And they said to David, "You'll not even get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." It was a fortress. And they thought David cannot get in here. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. And David took up residence there. He established this as his capital in a neutral territory between Israel and Judah. Jerusalem was this fortress that was naturally defensible on the south, the east, and the west through the valleys that were around it. And its water supply came from the Gihon Spring. I want you to think about this. God's dwelling place in Zion, which is figuratively used also in the Bible for heaven. God's dwelling place on this mount. Not Mount Moriah where the temple was, but on the Mount of Jerusalem, which was a fortress, was protection and providence. Springs of water that they needed to live. And protection from the enemies all around them. Isn't that God? Isn't that what God's all about? Protection and providence on our journey? And he says here, "No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." The King James Version says, "From them that walk uprightly, no good thing does he withhold." There's two words here that we have to focus on this morning. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. When we start to think about our journey or our walk, okay, our walk to Zion, our journey to eternal life, to heaven, walk implies a direction. No good thing does he withhold from those whose direction, implying several applications here, literally and figuratively, to one who behaves in a certain way, to one who moves forward, to one who goes, to one who goes out, one who goes on in life, one who journeys in life. To those whose walk, whose journey, whose behavior is blameless, or as the King James Version says, upright. This word blameless in the Hebrew language meant integrity or truth, sincerity, being sincere. There again, a lot of people claim to follow the Christian way, but they're not really sincere about it. They think it's almost like a credential. Yep, I've chosen to follow Jesus, there's my card, put it in my pocket, and I go on my way. Not living according to God's words, not going on my journey, but staying on the journey that I always was in life. That's not the blessed life, and God does not promise us blessings if we do that. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Remember Enoch in Genesis chapter 5? Remember Enoch? Maybe some of you don't. Genesis chapter 5. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. He didn't die, he was taken up. He was a close friend of God's. Remember Noah. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. You see, God's people are always on a journey, always walking. But the key is that they're walking with God. That's the key here. And the Bible tells us that God won't withhold good things from us if we walk with Him. But sadly, people are walking other directions, other paths, and expecting God's blessing. That's contradictory to what the Bible says. In the words of the country singer, "I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden." How can we expect blessings in life unless we're walking the path to eternal life with God as our friend and Christ as our Savior? Now people say, "Oh, there are a lot of paths in life." A lot of paths in life. You just have to decide which one's right for you and choose it. That's not what the Bible says. Well, the Bible agrees there are a lot of paths in life. But you have to choose which one's right according to God, which one God wants you to be on. And it's there in choosing that journey and walking that path, no matter how hard it might seem. God's Word tells us that God will bless us and He will not withhold good things from us. Because better is one day in the presence of God than thousands elsewhere. That it's better to be in the presence of God in our daily walk, whether we're poor, whether we're without food, whether we're sick, no matter what, whether our friends are laughing at us, whether we lost that job because we professed our Christian faith. Praise the Lord that Phil Robertson did not step down from his testimony of what the Bible says and stood up for it. If you didn't follow the story, he made a statement. And he was criticized so strongly for his faith that A&E on television was threatened to take them off the television until thousands upon thousands of people protested because he was standing firm, walking the walk, talking the talk, walking the straight and narrow. Think of where our world would be if more people were like that. That's the straight and narrow path that God wants us to be on. And unless we're on that path, we cannot expect God's blessings, nor can we expect God to shower us down good things in our lives. Now, I want to go on here a little bit. You see, it does not say, no good thing does He withhold from those who are blameless. Because so many people on that journey are trying to be perfect. They're trying to do the works to be perfect and to be good. And the sad part is we can't. How many of us have walked that straight and narrow line our whole lives? The sad part is we fall, don't we? We fall. We get distracted by the things along that journey that pull us off of the journey. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. We keep trusting in God that when we do slip and fall, we can say, Lord, I have forsaken You. I've taken another path. Forgive me, Lord. And the Bible tells us He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And He reaches down and He says, come on back up here where you belong. And we keep on walking with the Lord. If you're trying to be perfect and blameless in this life by yourself, you are wasting your time. Because you never will be until we get to heaven in the presence of Almighty God. But our walk becomes blameless because we've chosen the perfect path of God. So you see, it's about the journey. Setting our sights on what is good and striving for them. Walking wisely, seeking the Lord, not following the ways of the world nor of people, but God's ways. God knows our hearts. He knows we're going to slip and fall. In fact, He allows us to slip and fall because that's where we go from strength to strength. We're going along on the journey. Things are going good. Whoops. I've fallen, Lord. I've fallen. I've disobeyed You. Forgive me, Lord. And He picks us back up. I'm strong again. I'm going along. You see, strength to strength. That's what's so good about our God. He doesn't look back and say, oh, forget about them. All they ever do is fall. Come on, you perfect people, you go with me. That's not the way it is. If the path was only for the perfect, none of us would be on it. The path would be empty. But He keeps picking us up because we've set our sights on His glory. And this is what we call walking the straight and narrow. It's a grueling journey, isn't it? It's grueling, it's tireless. It's tiresome. It wears us out trying to be who God wants us to be and trying to walk the straight and narrow. It tires us out day in and day out. I have a little saying on my desk in my study that says, amidst the thousand snares I stand, upheld and guarded by Thy hand, that hand unseen shall hold me still and lead me to Thy holy hill. Proverbs 14 and 16 tells us, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Sometimes we think we know the right path, so we take it. And what happens? It leads to destruction. In Deuteronomy, before Moses led the people into the promised land, he took time to talk to them and to remind them about certain things. And he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 5, "Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess." Now here was a group of people on a journey, walking with the Lord. And he said to them, "Don't turn to the right or left. Walk in the way of the Lord your God." Later in Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, he says to them, "If you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them." And then, of course, lastly, there's our favorite Psalm, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He leads me in green pastures. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because your rod and your staff are with me. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Think about the assurance in the psalm written by a man who was being chased by his enemies trying to kill him. But he still walked the straight and narrow with faith in God. John, 1 John chapter 1 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness." I find myself doing that a lot on my journey, but I know for sure, as the Bible tells me, that he will withhold no good thing for those whose walk is blameless, for those who have chosen the right path, the straight and narrow. One of the things that I read at funerals to remind everyone is very appropriate this morning. "God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, and light for the way. Grace for the trails, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. Our hope is in the Lord as we walk the straight and narrow. We walk the path that the Lord has laid out before us. We trust in the Lord of all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. And no good blessing will he withhold from us." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord our God, for your word once again today.